My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. Time to get up and at 'em. Start your Saturday morning off right here with AWOD Radio on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Take it with you everywhere. Just search anywhere you get your apps at, AUDACY. You can hear us here on 106.7 The Fan. Gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. And I wanted to wish everybody a happy July 4th weekend. Happy Independence Day. Hope you all are enjoying your holiday weekend. There's a lot to get to here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. We got Donald behind the glass running the ones and twos. Did you get to check out any fireworks, eat some hot dogs? What's going on, Donald?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Happy holiday weekend, everyone. Yeah, I got out. I saw the fireworks on 4th of July, so that was cool. I didn't go actually into the mall. My mom, her office has like a rooftop that's kind of outside a little bit.
Yeah.
So we went to the rooftop and saw the fireworks. So I got to avoid the madness while still enjoying myself.
I love that. And I've seen fireworks twice now. I'm going to see them again tonight. And I got a whole segment dedicated to fireworks because it's funny. For like 330 plus days a year, I don't think about fireworks. But around this time, it's like all I think about. How do they come up with them? How do they make them look that way? How do they change the colors? What's your favorite? So I've got a whole fireworks segment planned for you guys later on the show today. You guys know I like to touch on multiple sports, multiple DC sports teams. The Nats are playing well. Lost in extras, but had won two straight before that. It's been fun to see James Wood in the majors here for the Nationals. Crazy how many extra inning games they've had in the past week. Bobby Blanco covers the Nats for Masson. He'll join us today to give us his take on the Cardinals, as they'll be at Nats Park at 4:05 will be your first pitch. Washington Wizards, well, we've got to talk about the Summer League. 6 days away from the first time we'll get to see Alexander Saar in a Wizards jersey. Bub Carrington already told Monumental Sports Chase Hughes, we're not going to be your normal Wizards. We're going to try to win this summer league. I love that mentality. And then the Commanders, we'll get into it. We're 4 weeks away from the most anticipated training camp in 10 years. Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels, a new coaching staff, new GM. I am so pumped. But I wanted to start with a topic that I care about, and I know that the audience cares about it at least right now. I'll ask Donald this. With the events of the past week, Donald, do you feel like I have your attention to talk soccer?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I've actually been keeping track a little bit. So I've been locked in.
All right. So it's the summer of soccer. Games played during the day with the Euro Cup. Games played at night with Copa America. The summer of soccer here in our own country in America and it ended July 1st. Yep, that's right, because America, for the first time in the history of the competition, the host nation, games being played on our soil in there, here in the U.S., failed to make it out of the group stage. And yes, it was embarrassing, and it's a total disaster. And it has me wondering, where do we go from here? And the reason I bring it up to start the show is because I've had more people this week than in the last 5 years come up to me, text me, tweet me, find a way to get in touch with me and say, AWOD, why can't the U.S. get any better at soccer? Why can't we compete on this international stage? We've got all these guys playing in Europe. I've heard about these big names, you know. Why can't we compete? Why have we not improved at the international level? Feels like we haven't since 2014 with Jurgen Klinsmann. And it feels like to me we haven't even done some of the incredible things that U.S. soccer did in the late 90s when I first got into it. So I want to address a few things. Yes, we have improved as a soccer nation, but so has the rest of the world. Where does the issue lie? I believe it's at the youth level, because there are a ton of problems with why soccer hasn't grown in this country to the level it has around the world. But one of the biggest issues I keep running into, is that it's gotten so expensive. And so many things in this country are so expensive, but especially youth sports and youth soccer, right? Travel soccer is expensive. You want to play the best competition? You want to keep improving? My parents put me through it. You got to travel the state. Then you got to travel the East Coast and stay in hotels and play in all these tournaments. Your parents have to be able to afford it just to be coached by some guy named Greg whose son is on the team and he played mediocre high school football and he doesn't know what he's talking about. While around the world, youth coaches have 10 times more experience. And so coaching is absolutely part of it. And it's just, it's not the cheapest sport to play. You know, you need to find 11-on-11 to play pickup soccer. You can play pickup basketball 2-on-2, 5-on-5. You just don't see pickup soccer all around this country like it is around the world. The second problem is that we're too cocky. We're too cocky. We need to look ourselves in the mirror and answer the real question. Right? We thought we could do it our way. U.S. Soccer Federation, they failed us here. Here's why they failed us, because we had the World Cup, we did mediocre, barely could score, they fired the coach, and then the U.S. Soccer Federation rehired him. And so we saw the success of Jurgen Klinsmann that he had training our team and training our youth back in 10 years ago. And they said, you know what U.S. Soccer said? We like what you do. We took notes on everything, right? That's the American thing. We took notes on everything, and then we're going to try to match that and do it ourselves. And 10 years later, where has it gotten us? Because this is not our sport. We didn't invent this sport. We don't know everything about this sport. And where we are, back to where we began. And so I believe that the answer is to bring in another German coach, like a Jurgen Klopp or another international coach, who will bring the style of play that we should be playing to America and to all of the youth levels. And we kick and chase, and we don't build up, we don't play one-touch passes. And another thing we need to talk about here is the progress has been made, all right, to where more Americans are getting contracts all across Europe, all right? That is one thing to be happy about. But the truth is that if you read between the lines, if you're actually watching, yes, that didn't happen 15 years ago, all right? At least not to the level it's happening right now. That's excellent. But are we actually getting minutes over there, right? So we're getting respect because they're giving contracts to some of our young players and they're going over to Europe, but they're not starring over there, all right? For example, Christian Pulisic, who's the best soccer player in America right now, and he's playing at AC Milan. But I watched him for 3 seasons at Chelsea barely get an opportunity, and that's not developing right there, right? You're not getting better sitting on the bench and barely playing. And so we've got no league in this country that's worth staying for. Not worth it playing in the MLS. Then they go to Europe for more money and a bigger club, and they don't see enough playing time. And then they come home for these tournaments. They don't play together because they're all on different clubs all around Europe, so they're not on the same page, all right? They're all at different levels in their career right now, so they're fighting it with each other for playing time, and there's just no team chemistry. And then the last thing is, everybody always says, oh, we don't have the best American athletes playing soccer. Imagine LeBron out there. When was the last time you watched soccer and you saw somebody 6'8", jacked, running around the pitch? It's more of a finesse sport, right? And so we just don't train our athletes to be successful soccer players. We train them to run through the walls for basketball, get bigger for football, get stronger, hit harder for baseball, right? But for soccer, those skills don't necessarily translate well. And, you know, you, with soccer, you need to fit through tight areas. It's foot-eye coordination. And most of the sports we do are hand-eye coordination. So it just feels like USA has kind of peaked in soccer with Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan. And although I grew up loving them, I thought we were, you know, on the cusp of something great for the 2026 World Cup. And I just don't know if we're ever going to be a team here that's been soft. And this is a team here that's pissing me off. And I know a lot of people around the country feel the same way here because we crashed and burned and failed out of this tournament. So I don't know if there's an answer. My only suggestion is to go outside this country and try to find an international coach and let them take over and give them an eight-year period to see if they can change soccer here in this country. That's my rant, and I hope you enjoyed it. From Team USA Soccer to Team USA Basketball. Yes, the Avengers met in Vegas earlier this week, as that's what they're calling themselves. They have a month to prep for the 2024 Olympics in Paris. Can LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Team USA win gold and bring glory back to men's basketball in this country? We'll discuss it next. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on a Saturday, July 6th. Phone lines are open throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio, AWADD, RADIO. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Nick lets me know. He says, our athletes play other sports. If LeBron was in goal and Tyreek Hill was playing forward, we'd kill everyone in soccer. Those same guys would be smaller and faster if they trained their whole life for soccer. I just don't know if I agree with that, because they don't train their whole life for soccer, because we have other sports that people are interested in. You know, if we didn't have football, maybe we would have athletes that were more interested in playing soccer and played that way their whole life. And, you know, I would also argue all these other countries around the world, they're starting to now have football. They're starting to now have basketball and competing and beating us in basketball while also still beating us in soccer. If you want to chime in, you can always call in 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. What's going on, Andre?
Oh, well, man, the problem is, and I think we're going to see it with the Olympics, It's not the athletes. It's the paradigm we have in our mind of the country in terms of when kids can become professionals. You know, we talk about this stuff about even our – if we had these basketball players playing soccer, we would win. But look what's going on right now in France. Look at the top five NBA players right now. They're not Americans. You know, they're Europeans. And then the last two draft picks, I think the last three draft picks were all like French dudes or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the issue is in Europe and South America, they don't mind you're a seven-year-old kid. You got spotted. You know, Barcelona can sign you up. And obviously you're not a professional, but you're being groomed from 7 years old to play soccer. And now in France to play basketball. Whereas the United States, you got to go through AAU. You got to go. It's a different paradigm shift. And it worked in the past in terms of, you know, basketball, because we're the only country that cared for it. And, you know, we did well. It never worked for soccer, obviously, because, you know, other countries care about soccer. But now you fast forward to today, 2024. Is it still working in basketball? You know, one can make an argument looking at the top players in the NBA right now, looking at the top draft picks. These Euros who are becoming professional at, you know, 10, 15, 12 years old, it's paying off. So eventually, I guess the good segue between the basketball and soccer, I mean, this country has to decide, you know, how are we going to look at youth sports? Can youth sports be professional? If they say yes, probably have a chance. If, you know, we are resolved and, you know, this is how we do things in the States, then we're never going to have a chance in soccer. And then, you know, you may eventually see us not be the best when it comes to basketball.
That's a good point, man. I appreciate you chiming in. It is interesting because, you know, you're right. It is so different with AU, you know, with trying to, you know, getting a scholarship to a private school, right? It's totally different than the way they do things in Europe. Let's get to Team USA basketball, and let's meet the Olympic team that just arrived in Vegas for camp. And I want to read to you a quote from Kobe Bryant that Steve Kerr has read to his team. It was an interview in which Kobe Bryant was asked, "Other nations have made big strides in basketball. How the gap between the rest of the world and U.S. is closing, and how that's been a great thing for the NBA." Kobe Bryant's response was, "So what?" His point was, if everyone else is getting better, then the U.S. better find ways to do the same. And that's the attitude that Steve Kerr is going to bring this team here, as he is the coach. Steph Curry is, of course, one of the big names alongside LeBron James. Steph said, "We've got less than 30 days or so to get locked in to go get this gold medal. 12 amazing, talented guys ready to come together for one goal," Curry said as he arrived for camp. "I'm hyped for it all." So, of course, the big names, you're going to recognize most of them. And that's why I'm kind of really excited to watch Team USA. They're calling themselves the Avengers. Remember, there was the Dream Team in 1992. There was the Redeem Team that was led by LeBron James. Well, now they're the Avengers trying to avenge America for the mistakes in the last few competitions. And believe me, it had gotten pretty bad here because last year was humbling. At the World Cup, the U.S. finished 7th in 2019 and then were 4th. In the next competition after that. We have really fallen out of first place in basketball here. And so that's because, you could argue, we didn't have the best talent on the team. Well, there's no more arguing that with this year's roster. At guard, you have Stephen Curry, multiple champion, multiple MVP Golden State Warriors, Devin Booker alongside him, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, now an NBA champion with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, and Tyrese Halliburton. Both Anthony Edwards and Halliburton were on the previous Team USA. At forward, this is where you just get all-stars. It's pretty incredible. It's headlined by LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, and Kawhi Leonard. At center, Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo. I'll admit those two are a little bit soft. But then you have Joel Embiid. After it felt like he was going to play for Team France, he is back here to represent Team USA, member of the 76ers. So it is Steve Kerr's the coach, assistant coach Eric Spoelstra with the Heat, Tyronn Lue, and Mark Few at Gonzaga rounds out the assistant coaching staff here. Now, this is an American team that will have an exhibition against Canada, And then we'll have games in Abu Dhabi to get ready for the Olympics. Well, they'll face off against Australia and Serbia. And so it will begin on July 28th. So that's, I mean, a day past 3 weeks away from this USA team's first game here. And they've got to come together as a group here. Are they going to be able to compete against these other nations? I mean, look, we shouldn't have any trouble against, you know, the Puerto Ricos of the world, Mexico, Lithuania. It's when we start playing Germany and France and Serbia that I think it's going to be a really interesting competition. Australia as well for Team USA, as we've been talking about. There is a lot more talent around the globe and even here in Canada than there has been in recent years. And so that's why Team USA is putting together maybe their most talented roster of all time. I mean, it's pretty tough to say that. I'm not personally going with that because I believe in the Dream Team as the greatest of all time, but that's what I've been reading from a few articles here. They're calling this maybe the most talented team of all time, and I understand it, right? Because LeBron James is back on the Olympic team. It's crazy. For the first time since 2012, so he had a 12-year gap seeking his third gold medal. Kevin Durant's going for a record. That would be his fourth gold. And then Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Jrue Holiday, Jason Tatum, and Anthony Davis each have one. The first time Olympians, I thought this was weird. First time that Kawhi Leonard has represented Team USA, probably because he struggles to get hurt, struggles to stay healthy, always getting hurt. Anthony Edwards, Halliburton, Steph Curry, and Joel Embiid. Like I said, it was despite France making a strong push for him, he is going to represent the USA there in France, the host nation in Paris. And so I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be really fun to watch. Can these guys gel together, right? Like, if you have an unbelievable lineup with Steph Curry at the one, and you might even have to put Kevin Durant at the two, LeBron James at the three, Jason Tatum at the four, and finish it off with either Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid at the five. I mean, how is this team going to play with that lineup there? Do they have enough shooters? That's kind of the issue in the past, I think, in my mind. International basketball, the three-point line is different. The rules are different. And we didn't have the shooters that we, 4 years ago, even 2 years ago, the last time I watched Team USA, we couldn't hit enough three-point shots. And I look at this roster here, and I see there's so much talent, so much explosive playmaking ability. Is there enough three-point shooting? It's going to have to be Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, and Jason Tatum, right? Can you trust LeBron James to be a big-time three-point shooter in this international game? Can Kevin Durant? KD, I love KD, but my goodness, that guy takes so many contested jump shots. That's what Team USA is going to have to avoid doing. Keep the ball moving. Make an extra pass. And so that you get layups, dunks, and open three-point shots. It felt like the last time I watched Team USA on the international stage, we played a bunch of me ball. Hey, I can make this step-back three. Hey, I can make this fadeaway jumper. And you might 50% of the time, but the other 50%, the other team's going the other way, and they're getting layups and dunks. And that's why we lost last time we played at the international stage. So I'm looking forward to Team USA. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. What do you think of the name Avengers, and can they avenge the mistakes of the previous teams here representing Team USA at the Olympics this summer? 1-800-636-1067 if you want to chime in, or you can tweet me at AWAD Radio, AWADDRADIO. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. If you're listening on the Odyssey app and you're too busy to call in, you can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio at 106.7 The Fan. If it's good tweet, we will read it on air. Training camp for the Washington Commanders is just over 3 weeks away now, less than 4 weeks. So fans can attend five open practices, July 28th, 29th, August 2nd, 4th, and 6th. It's different this year because of the amount of joint practices that the Commanders are doing, there's going to be less opportunities, which means the days that you can go, I think it's going to be extremely packed. We've already seen certain days are sold out. It's going to be awesome. I keep saying it's the most anticipated training camp in the last 10 years. So wanted to come together here with you guys to come up with AWOD's training camp guidebook, all right, for the 2024 Commanders. And so I think the training camp guidebook, when you open it, it starts with the biggest question, and that is, who will be the starting offensive lineman for your Washington Commanders? And I think that's the biggest offseason question, because it was the biggest question last year and the year before that. But especially last season, we saw how much it hurt us and, quite frankly, hurt the development of Sam Howell. I think an argument could be made that if the offensive line gave up 15 to 20 less sacks, Sam Howell is still here in D.C. Instead, he's across the country in Seattle as the backup for Geno Smith and the Seahawks. And Washington, because of the amount of sacks they took, lost so many games, and with that got the number 2 overall pick and the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. So, training camp's around the corner. Let's look at the offensive linemen on the roster. There's Tyler Biadasz, Ricky Stromberg. Had people ask me about Ricky Stromberg, what to expect out of him this year. Hopefully he gets onto the field, but I know that they do not have the plan to have him start at center. That's going to be Tyler Biadasz. At guard, you have Nick Allegretti. Mason Brooks is back for another year. Sam Cosmi, who was voted a top 10 guard by Pro Football Focus. Michael Dieter, Julian Good-Jones, and Chris Paul. I think your guard competition will be Nick Allegretti, Sam Cosmi, Chris Paul, and Mason Brooks. At tackle, Andrew Wiley, Alex Ekingbolu, Cornelius Lucas, Trent Scott, Brandon Coleman. I think it's going to be Brandon Coleman, Cornelius Lucas, Andrew Wiley, Trent Scott competing four guys for two tackle spots there. So, obviously, I think you have to look at left tackle first, and I would still argue the Commanders didn't do enough at left tackle, but it's not over yet. It's not over yet. You know, tomorrow's not the first day of the regular season. There's time for Washington to figure out the left tackles on their roster or to bring somebody else in. I keep saying Washington will bring somebody else in. Somebody, a veteran that gets cut around training camp or preseason, will be brought into Washington here to compete with Cornelius Lucas, to compete with Brandon Coleman, or maybe even be our starter at left tackle and move one of those guys maybe over to right tackle then to fill in for Andrew Wiley. Nick Allegretti is my guess to be the starting left guard, Tyler Biadasz at center, and Sam Cosmi at right guard. I do think Biadasz will be able to help Jaden Daniels because of the starter at center issue was so bad last year, and it led to Sam Howell having to either reach down or jump in the air to catch a snap, and that was so bad. And so it's going to take some time to develop chemistry. They're going to have to spend some time together after practice. But Biadasz should help with snaps and also help with protection calls because he has experience in this league and was part of a solid offensive line last year for the Dallas Cowboys. So if you're doing a training camp guide, that's your offensive line. Then you look at your quarterback is Jaden Daniels. We all know everything about Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU. And then you look at who's he going to throw it to. Let's talk about the wide receivers and the tight ends. There's a ton of wide receivers on the roster here. I think the ones that you need to know. I'll throw Kazmir Allen out there because he made some plays last year in training camp. He's back again. Deami Brown feels like this is a make-or-break training camp for Deami Brown. Wouldn't surprise me if he got cut. Jamison Crowder, Davion Davis, Jahan Dotson. This does feel like Jahan Dotson has to get over his sophomore slump if this Washington offense is going to be successful at all. We just, you know, if you look at Jahan Dotson like I do and you don't believe in him, then you have to say this Washington wide receiver group is not good enough. If you believe in Jahan Dotson, then maybe they're good enough. You know, he is the guy, I think, that takes us from mid to mediocre wide receiver core to maybe something decent. Luke McCaffrey, Really excited about this young rookie here. Of course, learning the position, was a quarterback at first out of high school, then moved to wide receiver, had some really impressive catches last year, got drafted. The son of Ed McCaffrey, the brother of Christian McCaffrey. Terry McLaurin's our star. Move past him. Dax Milne played some special teams last year. You've got Marcus Rosemary Jack Saint. He's the one that made that really impressive one-handed catch when we had rookie minicamp. Mitchell Tinsley, who was kind of really good last year in training camp and preseason, and Bryson Tremaine. So I do think that Luke McCaffrey, Jahan Dotson are the two that I'm going to have my eye on most during training camp. And then maybe a De'Ami Brown, because I do still like his speed. You know, I thought he was going to have a better connection with Sam Howell, both being UNC guys. It wasn't there. It just might not be that he's good enough to make it in this league. You look over to the tight end room. It's four interesting guys at tight end with Zach Ertz, Ben Sennett, Bates, and of course Cole Turner. I am circling Cole Turner as the guy I'm most interested to watch in training camp because he's been there before, right? This is now his third training camp. If he's ever going to prove himself as a tight end in the NFL, it's right now. It's this training camp. There is an opportunity there. Zach Ertz is old, hasn't really been productive since 2019, 2020. You know, Bates is a blocking tight end. He's caught the ball in the past. He's too slow. He's not a pass-catching tight end. He's a good blocker. Ben Sennett is the rookie that we all have, you know, really high hopes and expectations for. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be tough as a rookie here with a crowded tight end room for him to get that many opportunities. I think they're going to give the first opportunity to Zach Ertz, and then we'll see how much Cole Turner can earn an opportunity throughout training camp. Running backs are my favorite part about the offense. I think it's a match made in heaven. In fact, I saw a Yahoo article with the same headline, Match Made in Heaven, speaking on Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler. And I want it to be known that I am the biggest Brian Robinson supporter here in the DMV. I'm all in. I predicted Pro Bowl for Brian Robinson. I'll double down on it. I think he's going to have double-digit touchdowns. I think he's going to get so many more touches than he did last season simply because Eric Bieniemy's not in the room. Eric Bieniemy wanted to run, wanted to throw. He wanted to have nothing to do with the running game, it felt like, especially when they threw it like 26 straight times in a close game, right? So I'm really hoping that Anthony Lynn can make a difference in the running game. I know Cliff Kingsbury likes to throw as well with the air raid there, but Anthony Lynn worked with Austin Ekeler. He spoke about that in an interview with NFL Network. You know, he kind of responded to a lot of the criticism that he got, even including Tiki Barber, about not wanting 300 touches. And it just, I actually love the way he spoke out about that because it shows you, you know, that Austin Ekeler is really an intelligent football player and has the NFL IQ to know if I'm getting the ball 260 plus times a season, that's not good enough because I'm not an every down back. I think, you know, you want your running back, of course, to think that he's the man and he should get it every single down. But I also kind of want a running back that understands, hey, that's what Brian Robinson's job is going to be, to get the third and ones, right, to get the fourth and inches. I need to be out there for scat back situations, to run around the outside, to catch the ball out of the backfield. And I also think that they're going to find a way to get both of them on the field at the exact same time. We'll continue AWOD's 20.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. If you're listening on the Odyssey app and you're too busy to call in, you can always tweet us your thoughts at A-Wide Radio at 106.7 The Fan. If it's good tweet, we will read it on air. Training camp for the Washington Commanders is just over 3 weeks away now, less than 4 weeks. So fans can attend 5 open practices, July 28th, 29th, August 2nd, 4th, and 6th. It's different this year because of the amount of joint practices that the Commanders are doing. There's going to be less opportunities, which means the days that you can go, I think it's going to be extremely packed. We've already seen certain days are sold out. It's going to be awesome. I keep saying it's the most anticipated training camp in the last 10 years. So wanted to come together here with you guys to come up with AWOD's training camp guidebook, all right, for the 2024 Commanders. And so I think the training camp guidebook, when you open it, it starts with the biggest question, and that is, who will be the starting offensive lineman for your Washington Commanders? And I think that's the biggest offseason question, because it was the biggest question last year and the year before that. But especially last season, we saw how much it hurt us and, quite frankly, hurt the development of Sam Howell. I think an argument could be made that if the offensive line gave up 15 to 20 less sacks, Sam Howell is still here in D.C. Instead, he's across the country in Seattle as the backup for Geno Smith and the Seahawks. And Washington, because of the amount of sacks they took, lost so many games, and with that got the number 2 overall pick and the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. So, training camp's around the corner. Let's look at the offensive linemen on the roster. There's Tyler Biadasz, Ricky Stromberg. I had people ask me about Ricky Stromberg, what to expect out of him this year. Hopefully he gets onto the field, but I know that they do not have the plan to have him start at center. That's going to be Tyler Biadasz. At guard, you have Nick Allegretti. Mason Brooks is back for another year. Sam Cosmi, who was voted a top 10 guard by Pro Football Focus. Michael Dieter, Julian Good-Jones, and Chris Paul. I think your guard competition will be Nick Allegretti, Sam Cosmi, Chris Paul, and Mason Brooks. At tackle, Andrew Wiley, Alex Akingbalu, Cornelius Lucas, Trent Scott, Brandon Coleman. I think it's going to be Brandon Coleman, Cornelius Lucas, Andrew Wiley, Trent Scott competing four guys for two tackle spots there. So obviously, I think you have to look at left tackle first, and I would still argue the Commanders didn't do enough at left tackle, but it's not over yet. It's not over yet. You know, tomorrow's not the first day of the regular season. There's time for Washington to figure out the left tackles on their roster or to bring somebody else in. I keep saying Washington will bring somebody else in. Somebody, a veteran that gets cut around training camp or preseason, will be brought into Washington here to compete with Cornelius Lucas, to compete with Brandon Coleman, or maybe even be our starter at left tackle and move one of those guys maybe over to right tackle then to fill in for Andrew Wiley. Nick Allegretti is my guess to be the starting left guard, Tyler Biadasz at center, and Sam Cosmi at right guard. I do think Biotis will be able to help Jaden Daniels because of the starter at center issue was so bad last year, and it led to Sam Howell having to either reach down or jump in the air to catch a snap, and that was so bad. And so it's going to take some time to develop chemistry. They're going to have to spend some time together after practice. But Biotis should help with snaps and also help with protection calls because he has experience in this league and was part of a solid offensive line last year for the Dallas Cowboys. So if you're doing a training camp guide, that's your offensive line. Then you look at your quarterback is Jaden Daniels. We all know everything about Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU. And then you look at who's he going to throw it to. Let's talk about the wide receivers and the tight ends. There's a ton of wide receivers on the roster here. I think the ones that you need to know. I'll throw Kazmir Allen out there because he made some plays last year in training camp. He's back again. Deami Brown feels like this is a make-or-break training camp for Deami Brown. Wouldn't surprise me if he got cut. Jamison Crowder, Davion Davis, Jahan Dotson. This does feel like Jahan Dotson has to get over his sophomore slump if this Washington offense is going to be successful at all. We just, you know, if you look at Jahan Dotson like I do and you don't believe in him, then you have to say this Washington wide receiver group is not good enough. If you believe in Jahan Dotson, then maybe they're good enough. You know, he is the guy, I think, that takes us from mid to mediocre wide receiver core to maybe something decent. Luke McCaffrey, really excited about this young rookie here. Of course, learning the position, was a quarterback at first out of high school, then moved to wide receiver, had some really impressive catches last year, got drafted, the son of Ed McCaffrey, the brother of Christian McCaffrey. Terry McLaurin's our star, moved past him. Dax Milne played some special teams last year. You've got Marcus Rosemary Jack Saint. He's the one that made that really impressive one-handed catch when we had rookie minicamp. Mitchell Tinsley, who was kind of really good last year in training camp and preseason, and Bryson Tremaine. So I do think that Luke McCaffrey, Jahan Dotson are the two that I'm going to have my eye on most during training camp. And then maybe a Deami Brown, because I do still like his speed. You know, I thought he was going to have a better connection with Sam Howell, both being UNC guys. It wasn't there. It just might not be that he's good enough to make it in this league. You look over to the tight end room. It's four interesting guys at tight end with Zach Ertz, Ben Sennett, Bates, and of course Cole Turner. I am circling Cole Turner as the guy I'm most interested to watch in training camp because he's been there before, right? This is now his third training camp. If he's ever going to prove himself as a tight end in the NFL, it's right now. It's this training camp. There is an opportunity there. Zach Ertz is old, hasn't really been productive since 2019, 2020. You know, Bates is a blocking tight end. He's caught the ball in the past. He's too slow. He's not a pass-catching tight end. He's a good blocker. Ben Sennett is the rookie that we all have, you know, really high hopes and expectations for. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be tough as a rookie here with a crowded tight end room for him to get that many opportunities. I think they're going to give the first opportunity to Zach Ertz, and then we'll see how much Cole Turner can earn an opportunity throughout training camp. Running backs are my favorite part about the offense. I think it's a match made in heaven. In fact, I saw a Yahoo article with the same headline, Match Made in Heaven, speaking on Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler. And I want it to be known that I am the biggest Brian Robinson supporter here in the DMV. I'm all in. I predicted Pro Bowl for Brian Robinson. I'll double down on it. I think he's going to have double-digit touchdowns. I think he's going to get so many more touches than he did last season simply because Eric Bieniemy's not in the room. Eric Bieniemy wanted to run, wanted to throw. He wanted to have nothing to do with the running game, it felt like, especially when they threw it like 26 straight times in a close game, right? So I'm really hoping that Anthony Lynn can make a difference in the running game. I know Cliff Kingsbury likes to throw as well with the air raid there, but Anthony Lynn worked with Austin Ekeler. He spoke about that in an interview with NFL Network. You know, he kind of responded to a lot of the criticism that he got, even including Tiki Barber, about not wanting 300 touches. And it just, I actually love the way he spoke out about that because it shows you, you know, that Austin Ekeler is really an intelligent football player and has the NFL IQ to know, if I'm getting the ball 260-plus times a season, that's not good enough because I'm not an every down back. I think, you know, you want your running back, of course, to think that he's the man and he should get it every single down, but I also kind of want a running back that understands, hey, that's what Brian Robinson's job is going to be, to get the third and ones, right, to get the fourth and inches. I need to be out there for scat back situations, to run around the outside, to catch the ball out of the backfield. And I also think that they're going to find a way to get both of them on the field at the exact same time. We'll continue AWOD's 2024 training camp guidebook, moving over to the defensive side of the ball next. You're listening to DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. Hope you're having a good July 4th weekend. It's July 6th, just after 9:45. Here on a Saturday morning, you're listening to AWOD Radio, DC Sports Radio 106.7, the Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Part 2 of AWOD's 2024 Washington Commanders training camp guidebook. And so we started with the offensive side of the ball. We'll move over to the defensive side of the ball here. And we'll start with the tackles. We'll start with the defensive line for the Washington Commanders here. And I think still a strength, not as strong as it used to be. But to be honest with you, I felt like Chase Young never lived up to the hype. I think most people would agree with me there. Montez Sweat, I think he lived up to the hype because obviously he led us in sacks last year and even got traded. That's kind of impressive, right? It shows you how bad the defensive line was, at least at getting after the quarterback. But like Montez Sweat, as big as he was, as strong as he was, as fast as he was, as many times as he would get to the quarterback and have a quarterback hit or a quarterback pressure, I felt like he just didn't deliver the amount of sacks, the amount of big plays that we were all hoping for out of a guy that looks like a monster, right? I mean, Ryan Kerrigan, I felt like was more impactful for the Commanders than Montez Sweat was, even though he's so much bigger and stronger. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So let's get to the defensive line. We'll start with the tackles you all recognize. Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. I'm going to say it's a big year for Jonathan Allen. I kind of probably said it too soon last year when I said I thought he was going to take over for Aaron Donald as the best defensive tackle in the league and probably took a step back. I don't even know if he was as good as Daron Payne was last year. Fedarian Mathis probably on his last chance here with the Commanders to make an impact. You've got Jerzon Newton, who is injured right now, who the Commanders drafted. Norrell Pollard, John Ridgeway still on the roster, alongside Benning Patoa. And then you move over to edge rusher. They bring in Dorrance Armstrong, who had, I want to say, 9.5 sacks last year, or maybe it was 8.5 with the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm really excited for him because I think he's going to come in here, not be an every down edge rusher, but a guy that's is going to start, and then they're going to find some spots for him. Cleland Farrell, you know, matches the second chance opportunity, the second chance season that I've been talking about here with Dan Quinn, giving multiple people a second chance, including his offense coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. Dante Fowler Jr. is a really interesting piece that they brought in to go alongside Jalen Harris and last year's rookie, K.J. Henry. You also have Javonte Jean-Baptiste and F.A. Obada. And I do think that this is a Commanders, defensive line that's going to roll out week one. Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, probably Dorrance Armstrong and Cleland Farrell with an opportunity for Jamin Davis and Frankie Louvu to get after the quarterback at times. I think you're going to see this team play Bobby Wagner in the middle of the field, and next to him could be Frankie Louvu, could be a Jamin Davis. I think it also could be, you know, one of these secondary guys that we've brought in. And so I do think that with Dan Quinn's system, I think you will see less linebackers on the field than we had in the past and more safeties, more corners there. And maybe even it's a Bobby Wagner, and next to him is Jeremy Chinn, right? Because he can push up at the line. Or maybe it's Quan Martin or Derek Forrest. I am really excited about the safety position, and I have my worries about the secondary. So don't want to, you know, just move past linebacker, though. It's Bobby Wagner, Jordan McGee, Anthony Pittman, Frankie Louvu. You have Jamin Davis as one of the others there as well. And I do think that the linebacker rotation will be Wagner and Louvu playing close to every single defensive snap there. And then you'll have some rotational pieces. As we move over to the secondary here, I think week one, you know, we'll see what happens in training camp. But week one right now, I kind of think it's going to be Benjamin St. Juice, Michael Davis. I don't think there's any way that you could start Emmanuel Forbes unless he is, you know, having two interceptions in preseason. A guy that you benched last year. Still have high hopes for him because he was a first-round draft pick. But, you know, how many times do we see it when a guy that was not drafted by the current regime gets looked over? And he might get looked over for Mike Sanra still, who we just drafted here. You also have Christian Holmes on the roster with Tariq Castro-Fields competing for an opportunity. A.J. Woods, Noah Ibingnawu, and a few other guys there that are going to compete here. And so I do think that when you look at the cornerback position here, I think you have to see who's going to be the slot corner. And I want to hope that that's Mike Sanra still, because like I'm saying, they drafted him in the first, in the second round there. They believe that he could be an impact player right away for this team. They were very excited about what they've got in Mike Sanra still from what they saw in rookie minicamp and OTAs. At safety, Jeremy Chinn, Quan Martin, Derek Forrest, Percy Butler, Jeremy Reeves, Dominique Hampton. That's pretty good there at safety. I'm excited about Jeremy Chinn. I think the guy that has made headlines already this offseason is Quan Martin. I do think of the guys that were drafted last year, I have the most expectations for Quan Martin this year to step onto the scene. Derek Forrest, I really liked as a hitter and also a guy that covers a lot of ground when the ball's in the air and could be a playmaker. And then Percy Butler. And Jeremy Reeves should be mentioned as well, because special teams is going to be so important for this team. I do not feel great about the kicker position. Right now it's Ramiz Ahmed who was brought in after the exit of Brandon McManus. We know we love our punter in Tress Way, and we have a new long snapper this year after the Commanders cut Cameron Cheeseman. And so special teams are going to be so important for this team. I wanted to highlight what Jeremy Reeves brings to this Commanders team here as a gunner that can get downfield and make tackles. And, you know, it's the little things that are going to make the difference this year about playing complementary football. And I know people are probably tired of hearing about that because Ron Rivera just never did it. But I'm hoping Dan Quinn can have a team that gets a defensive stop, has a special teams play that's a plus in their advantage. Maybe, you know, it's a punt return that you get just 10 yards. That's a plus right now there out of your special teams. And then the offense comes in two first downs and can get into field goal range and get 3 points on the board. It's the little things there that make a difference in a game that you end up losing 34-31, right, to the Eagles because, oh, you wasted an opportunity where you got the ball at the 40-yard line and couldn't get into field goal range. It's the little things that I think are going to make the difference. It's the little things that I believe in Dan Quinn for. And I just think that the coaching staff has improved from last year, and that's going to make a big difference as well. Hopefully, we don't have the issue where I'm screaming at my TV for us to challenge a play because Ron Rivera just couldn't find the red flag. He forgot where he put it, right? Or I'm not screaming at my TV because the defense gave up explosive play after explosive play because Jack Del Rio doesn't want to be there, right? Hopefully Joe Witt Jr. can handle that. And then on the offensive side of the ball, hopefully I'm not screaming at my TV that we've thrown the ball 100 times in a row and our offensive line is getting beat up because we're going to run the ball more this year with the combination of Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson Jr. That's AWOD's 2024 training camp guide. It is right around the corner. I know I'm going to try to get out there for a few of the dates and do my show live from training camp. Talked about that with my coworker Michael Phillips. And, of course, you can always check out my show in Richmond on the Odyssey app for free. Just search 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. It gives you the ability to pause the show run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You can also check out the podcast. That's Best of AWOD Radio. It's available every single day for you on your ride home. We're live and local here on The Fan until 12 noon. We got some special guests that are going to join the show today. Looking forward to having Craig Hoffman on the show. We'll get his take, get Craig Hoffman's training camp guide for the Commanders, the former beat writer, now host on the Team 980. At 11 a.m., Bobby Blanco to talk a little Washington Nationals at 10:30. But I told you guys, I am so excited for the NBA Summer League. And for the Washington Wizards, it begins in 6 days. Our first chance to see the number 2 overall draft pick, Alexander Saar. It's kind of funny, right? So with baseball, hopefully we'll get to see the number 2 draft pick, Dylan Cruz, get called up by the end of the season. With football, we're going to get to see the number 2 overall draft pick, Jaden Daniels, in training camp. And with the Wizards, we'll get to see the number 2 draft pick in Summer League in just 6 days. Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports, the Wizards beat reporter, joins us next on The Fan. Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. Hope you're having a good July 4th weekend. It's July 6th, just after 9:45. Here on a Saturday morning, you're listening to AWOD Radio, DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Part 2 of AWOD's 2024 Washington Commanders Training Camp Guidebook. And so we started with the offensive side of the ball. We'll move over to the defensive side of the ball here. And we'll start with the tackles. We'll start with the defensive line for the Washington Commanders here. And I think still a strength, not as strong as it used to be. But to be honest with you, I felt like Chase Young never lived up to the hype. I think most people would agree with me there. Montez Sweat, I think he lived up to the hype because obviously, he led us in sacks last year and even got traded. That's kind of impressive, right? It shows you how bad the defensive line was, at least at getting after the quarterback. But, like, Montez Sweat, as big as he was, as strong as he was, as fast as he was, as many times as he would get to the quarterback and have a quarterback hit or quarterback pressure, I felt like he just didn't deliver the amount of sacks, the amount of big plays that we were all hoping for out of a guy that looks like a monster, right? I mean, Ryan Kerrigan, I felt like was more impactful for the Commanders than Montez Sweat was, even though he's so much bigger and stronger. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So let's get to the defensive line. We'll start with the tackles you all recognize, Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. I'm going to say it's a big year for Jonathan Allen. I kind of probably said it too soon last year when I said I thought he was going to take over for Aaron Donald's the best defensive tackle in the league, and probably took a step back. I don't even know if he was as good as Daron Payne was last year. Fedarian Mathis probably on his last chance here with the Commanders to make an impact. You've got Jerzon Newton, who is injured right now, who the Commanders drafted. Narelle Pollard, John Ridgeway still on the roster, alongside Benning Patoa. And then you move over to edge rusher. They bring in Dorrance Armstrong, who had, I want to say, 9.5 sacks last year, or maybe it was 8.5 with the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm really excited for him because I think he's going to come in here, not be an every down edge rusher, but a guy that is going to start, and then they're going to find some spots for him. Cleland Farrell, matches the second chance opportunity, the second chance season that I've been talking about here with Dan Quinn, giving multiple people a second chance, including his offense coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. Dante Fowler Jr. is a really interesting piece that they brought in to go alongside Jalen Harris and last year's rookie, K.J. Henry. You also have Javonte Jean-Baptiste and F.A. Obada. And I do think that this is a Commanders, defensive line that's going to roll out week one. Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, probably Dorrance Armstrong and Cleland Farrell with an opportunity for Jamin Davis and Frankie Louvu to get after the quarterback at times. I think you're going to see this team play Bobby Wagner in the middle of the field, and next to him could be Frankie Louvu, could be a Jamin Davis. I think it also could be one of these secondary guys that we've brought in. And so I do think that with Dan Quinn's system, I think you will see less linebackers on the field than we had in the past and more safeties, more corners there. And maybe even it's a Bobby Wagner, and next to him is Jeremy Chinn, right, because he can push up at the line. Or maybe it's Quan Martin or Derek Forrest. I am really excited about the safety position, and I have my worries about the secondary. So don't want to, you know, just move past linebacker, though. It's Bobby Wagner, Jordan McGee, Anthony Pittman, Frankie Louvu. You have Jamin Davis as one of the others there as well. And I do think that the linebacker rotation will be Wagner and Louvu playing close to every single defensive snap there, and then you'll have some rotational pieces. As we move over to the secondary here, I think week one, you know, we'll see what happens in training camp, but week one right now, I kind of think it's going to be Benjamin St. Juice, Michael Davis. I don't think there's any way that you could start Emmanuel Forbes unless he is, you know, having two interceptions in preseason. A guy that you benched last year. Still have high hopes for him because he was a first-round draft pick, but you know, how many times do we see it when a guy that was not drafted by the current regime gets looked over? And he might get looked over for Mike Sanristil, who we just drafted here. You also have Christian Holmes on the roster with Tariq Castro-Fields competing for an opportunity. A.J. Woods, Noah, Ibingnawu, and a few other guys there that are going to compete here. And so I do think that when you look at the cornerback position here, I think you have to see who's going to be the slot corner. And I want to hope that that's Mike Sanristil, because like I'm saying, they drafted him in the first, in the second round there. They believe that he could be an impact player right away for this team. They were very excited about what they've got in Mike Sanristil from what they saw in rookie minicamp and OTAs. At safety, Jeremy Chinn, Quan Martin, Derek Forrest, Percy Butler, Jeremy Reeves, Dominique Hampton. That's pretty good there at safety. I'm excited about Jeremy Chinn. I think the guy that has made headlines already this offseason is Quan Martin. I do think of the guys that were drafted last year, I have the most expectations for Quan Martin this year to step onto the scene. Derek Forrest, I really liked as a hitter and also a guy that covers a lot of ground when the ball's in the air and could be a playmaker. And then Percy Butler. And Jeremy Reeves should be mentioned as well, because special teams is going to be so important for this team. I do not feel great about the kicker position. Right now it's Ramiz Ahmed who was brought in after the exit of Brandon McManus. We know we love our punter in Tress Way, and we have a new long snapper this year after the Commanders cut Cameron Cheeseman. And so special teams are going to be so important for this team. I wanted to highlight what Jeremy Reeves brings to this Commanders team here as a gunner that can get downfield and make tackles. And, you know, it's the little things that are going to make the difference this year about playing complementary football. And I know people are probably tired of hearing about that because Ron Rivera just never did it. But I'm hoping Dan Quinn can have a team that gets a defensive stop, has a special teams play that's a plus in their advantage. Maybe, you know, it's a punt return that you get just 10 yards. That's a plus right now there out of your special teams. And then the offense comes in two first downs and can get into field goal range and get 3 points on the board. It's the little things there that make a difference in a game that you end up losing 34-31, right, to the Eagles because, oh, you wasted an opportunity where you got the ball at the 40-yard line and couldn't get into field goal range. It's the little things that I think are going to make the difference. It's the little things that I believe in Dan Quinn for. And I just think that the coaching staff has improved from last year, and that's going to make a big difference as well. Hopefully, we don't have the issue where I'm screaming at my TV for us to challenge a play because Ron Rivera just couldn't find the red flag. He forgot where he put it, right? Or I'm not screaming at my TV because the defense gave up explosive play after explosive play because Jack Del Rio doesn't want to be there, right? Hopefully, Joe Witt Jr. can handle that. And then on the offensive side of the ball, hopefully I'm not screaming at my TV that we've thrown the ball 100 times in a row and our offensive line is getting beat up because we're going to run the ball more this year with the combination of Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson Jr. That's AWOD's 2024 training camp guide. It is right around the corner. I know I'm going to try to get out there for a few of the dates and do my show live from training camp. Talked about that with my coworker Michael Phillips. And, of course, you can always check out my show in Richmond on the Odyssey app for free. Just search 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You can also check out the podcast. That's Best of AWOD Radio. It's available every single day for you on your ride home. We're live and local here on The Fan until 12 noon. We got some special guests that are going to join the show today. Looking forward to having Craig Hoffman on the show. We'll get his take, get Craig Hoffman's training camp guide for the Commanders, the former beat writer, now host on the Team 980. At 11 a.m., Bobby Blanco to talk a little Washington Nationals at 10:30. But I told you guys, I am so excited for the NBA Summer League. And for the Washington Wizards, it begins in 6 days. Our first chance to see the number 2 overall draft pick, Alexander Saar. It's kind of funny, right? So with baseball, hopefully we'll get to see the number 2 draft pick, Dylan Cruz, get called up by the end of the season. With football, we're going to get to see the number 2 overall draft pick, Jaden Daniels, in training camp. And with the Wizards, we'll get to see the number 2 draft pick in Summer League in just 6 days. Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports, the Wizards beat reporter, joins us next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.